the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III.
I believe God is at work judging His church because He loves His church too much to have them paganized as the church by and large is today, enculturated with Hollywood, with the mass media, corrupted greatly musically, theologically. Very little different from the society that is pagan. God is dealing. God is at work. God is allowing vexations to come upon us. It's for the purpose of purifying His people. And He allows the pagans, i.e. Islam, and who knows who else, to be a part of the process of bringing His people to where they should be, where we should be. I hope you learn to see the hand of God. I hope you learn to recognize that God is at work. I hope when you see what's happening nationally and internationally, you say, what can I see of God in all of this? What is God doing? That's the issue. What is God doing? And whatever it is, I want to get in line with Him.
Does God know? Does God care? These are the questions that are answered in today's message. Bob Jones III takes his text from 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Now here's Dr. Bob Jones III.
Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 2 Chronicles 28? Something here I want to quickly share with you today. I've entitled this, Does God Know? Does God Care? I was fascinated by this chapter and really spent some time meditating on it a while back. Don't know how much time you've spent in this chapter, but let's look through it very quickly here, at least through the first 15 verses. This chapter makes it very clear to me that God always is looking over His people. He's never far away. He's always near. Isaiah speaks of God as considering that His people Israel are precious or prized or valuable to Him. God's people are valuable to Him. You may be wondering today, does God know my needs? Does God know the struggles? Does God know my heartaches? Does God know what my family is going through, my church is going through? Does God know what I'm going through? Well, of course He does. And this passage illustrates that quite vividly in relation to His people Israel. I submit to you, first of all, that this passage teaches us that God cared so much for His people Israel, He couldn't allow them to flourish in their paganism. He cared so much, He couldn't allow them to continue flourishing in their paganism. Look at verses 1 through 8. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He was king of Judah, the two tribes of the south. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, the 10 tribes of the north. He made also molten images for Baal. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of Hinnom. That is, he offered sacrifices to the pagan gods in Hinnom. Burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. This is references to the god Moloch, the god of the Ammonites who was represented by a face of a cow, of a bull, the body of a man with outstretched arms, and the people would put their children on those arms that sloped down into a great hollow belly in which a fire was kindled. And the children would be offered to this pagan god Moloch to be burned in the fire. He sacrificed also the burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Wherefore? Because of this. The Lord God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. God wasn't far off. God saw all of this happening. He saw what this king was doing to his people Israel that he loved. And they smote him, that is the king of Syria, carried away a great multitude of them, the people of Judah, captives, and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. So the people of Israel, the people of Judah, were decimated, both by the armies of Syria and the armies of Israel. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah, and 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Maaseiah, the king's son, and Azricam, the governor of the house, and Elkanah, who was next to the king, or second under the king. Important people. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, took them away also much spoil from them, and brought them to Samaria. This king, Ahaz, inherited a strong kingdom. His father before him, Jotham, was a godly man, a good leader of the people of God. And his son inherited the throne when Jotham died. And things were in good shape spiritually and economically and militarily, politically. But it rapidly deteriorated under the sorry leadership of this wicked king. And the people of God suffered because of his paganism. He corrupted them religiously. I don't know anything more reprehensible than when a spiritual leader, pastor, college administrators, college faculty, youth pastors, those who've been entrusted with spiritual leadership, when they corrupt those who depend upon them. What could be worse? More deserving of opprobrium? I can't think of anything. That's what this man Ahaz did to the people of Judah. But God was on the scene. And the Lord said, I love my people too much to let them continue in this spiritually decadent and apostate condition. And so he allowed enemies to begin to come among them. And they were greatly vexed, greatly discomfited. Could that be what's happening in America today? Now, America is not a Christian nation. Forget America as being a Christian nation. It is not. God has no responsibility to America. He has no obligation to this nation whatsoever. But he does have an obligation to his purchased people, the redeemed church. I believe God is at work judging his church because he loves his church too much to have them paganized as the church by and large is today, enculturated with Hollywood, with the mass media, corrupted greatly, musically, theologically. Very little different from the society that is pagan. God is dealing. God is at work. God is allowing vexations to come upon us. It's for the purpose of purifying his people. If blessing results, it will spill over to the pagans of America. If judgment comes to his church, it will spill over to the pagans of America. God is dealing with his people. That's where his concern is. And he allows the pagans, i.e. Islam, and who knows who else, to be a part of the process of bringing his people to where they should be, where we should be. God is at work in the economic arena, in the political arena, in the educational arena. God uses the pagans to judge his people and to refine them and bring them back to him. And that's what's happening. God's never far off the scene. And God is always dealing with His people that we might be more like Him. I hope you learn to see the hand of God. I hope you learn to recognize that God is at work. I hope when you see what's happening nationally and internationally, you say, what can I see of God in all of this? What is God doing? That's the issue. What is God doing? And whatever it is, I want to get in line with Him. But I don't want to be on His list of enemies. God allowed the pagans to come here and trouble His people because He loved them too much, cared too much to let them flourish in their paganism. God is always at work. Young people, don't ever doubt it. He cared so much that He sent a preacher. Look at verse 9. Now here were the people. They were captive. The Syrians had them captive. Israel had them captive. Verse 9 says, "But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. And he went out before the host and came to Samaria and said unto them, Because the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, was wroth with Judah, He hath delivered them into your hand, and ye have slain them in a rage that reacheth up to heaven. And now ye purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you. But are there not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? Now hear me," the prophet said. "Hear me, therefore, and deliver the captives again which you've taken captive of your brethren. For the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." The wrath of God was upon the pagans of Judah. He allowed Israel to come and chasten them. And now they had gone far beyond anything that was tolerable. And God said, "Now my anger is toward you because you are trying to take your brethren, the people of Judah, and you're making them your bondservants." And He said, "I won't tolerate that." He sent a preacher, a brave man, to stand right face to face with these people, flush with victory, flush with confidence. And one man stood up and said, "I'm here with a message from God for you." Hey, young people, don't ever underestimate the influence of one Spirit-filled believer in a nation, in a church, among the people of God, or among the pagan. God doesn't use mobs. He uses individuals. And all through biblical history, all through secular history, God used individuals, and He's still using individuals, to stand up and speak for Him to the masses and give His unpopular message, His point of view. I pray that God will raise up out of this student body many people whose tongues are not timid and whose hearts are courageous and who are filled with the knowledge of the Word of God to stand up and give God's perspective at all times, at all places, to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Not your perspective. Not your opinions. There's no power in that. There's no value in that. Nobody cares about that, nor should they. But if you have the message of the Lord from the Scripture, then people need to take notice. And don't you ever be apologetic to stand up against your friends who are doing wrong, against a church that is headed the wrong way, against a pulpit that is headed the wrong way. And in the right manner, speak the Lord's point of view and with the right spirit. There was a man who stood up at risk, personal risk. He was one man against an army that had been quite successful. And he stared their exploitation in the face. What wonderful courage. When you have the Word of God and a life that is morally pure, that can stand for the Lord's sake and speak His Word, you're the most valuable person in all the world. God has always brought His prophets on the scene at times of national crisis, at times of crisis in a body of believers who have gone off course. God always has a prophet to help, to lead, to correct, to give His Word, to awaken people. And don't ever forget that God who did this in the past is the God who still does it. And He is not off the scene. He is near. Don't have time to go into it, but throughout the Scriptures, He had Moses, a prophet that brought His people out of bondage and preserved them to the promised land. In times of great spiritual declension, He had Elijah. He had one voice against a whole bunch of false prophets when Jehoshaphat went up with Ahab in an alliance he should have never been involved in, the king of Judah, the good kingdom, against an alliance with wicked Ahab. And there was one prophet who stood up and spoke God's point of view against this alliance. And he was thrown back in prison and he was vilified. But that's okay. He did his job, thank God, regardless of whatever personal demotion or harm, vilification may come. Thank God for the prophets who stand up and speak the truth. There was Jeremiah prior to the captivity. There was Ezekiel during the captivity. God always has His spokesman. And there will be out of this student body, by the grace of God, spokesman for the Lord. It will take courage. It will take confidence that when God speaks, it is yea and nay and forever settled in heaven. That you're speaking eternal truth. And that God honors His Word. At all intervals throughout biblical history, God had His prophets at times of national crisis with the knowledge of the Word to speak. And you know what? When God wanted to punish His people, He withheld His vision from the prophets, so they had nothing to say from God. They had no message from God. What could be worse for a people than a preacher when God says, withhold My Word from them, it's part of My judgment. Or when He sends false prophets to speak a false message that His people may follow off after their own folly because they have refused to hear the Word of God. God sometimes judges His people in that way. But oh, when God wants His people to have a message, He has a courageous prophet to speak it. And I'm so thankful that in the time to come, if the Lord tarries, there will be people like that who will come right out of this room. May God make you faithful. God cared so much for them that He prepared the hearts of the leadership to respond when the prophet spoke. Look at verses 12 and following. Then certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim, and then it names them, stood up against them that came from the war. When the prophet spoke, there was leadership that heard and said, he's right. And so a number of people then took up the message. The prophet wasn't a lonely voice anymore. And saying to the leaders of Israel who had captured these people of Judah and were going to make slaves out of them, you're doing wrong. And they said unto them, that is to the people of Israel, ye shall not bring in the captives hither, for whereas we have offended against the Lord already, ye intend to add more to our sins and to our trespass, for our trespass is great. And there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the congregation. God cared so much for His people that when the prophet spoke, He impressed that message upon other leadership who then took that message to their own people. It was no longer a strange voice, an outsider speaking, but it was their people who said, we've done wrong. We can't take the people of God captive. We can't treat our brethren this way. They were abusing the people of God, and they were the people of God who were taking advantage of the people of God. And they said, we can't do this. God loved His people so much that He prepared hearts to follow the message of the preacher. I'm praying, young people, that when you go out into your churches upon graduation, your Bible-believing churches, that as long as a man there preaching the Word of God, as long as he's faithful to the Scripture, you as a layman or laywoman in the church will say, hey, I'm going to be on his side. It's the side of the Lord. And I'm going to take that message and I'm going to use my influence to put it out through the congregation and to implement this message. I'm going to be a co-laborer with the preacher in this manner that the Word of God might flourish. That's the role of the layperson in the church. And then lastly, He cared so much He prevented the exploitation of His people by His people. He prevented the exploitation of His people by His people. Verse 15, and the men which were expressed by name rose up and took the captives, and with the spoil clothed all them that were naked among them, and arrayed them, and shod them, and gave them to eat and to drink, and anointed them, and carried all the feeble of them upon asses, and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren. And then they returned to Samaria. What tenderness! What kindness! Graciousness! They didn't just leave these captives in their condition of poverty and need. They said, not only will we not make slaves of the people of God, not only will we, the people of God, not exploit the people of God, we're going to be gracious. We're going to give ourselves. We're going to restore them. We're going to help them. We're going to do without so that they might have their basic needs taken care of. That's how the people of God treat each other. That's what brings the Lord glory. You know, the church of Jesus Christ is in such disarray at this hour. People are devouring each other. People are slandering each other. Hey, young people, I want this place to be the most kind-hearted group of believers that can be found anywhere on earth, because that glorifies the Lord. For the Lord's sake, I want this. I want us, when there are needs in this student body, to sacrifice to meet those needs. I don't know when I'm ever happier than when I hear that some student, a prayer group in a prayer group or society or wherever, has heard of a need of another student, somebody without any fanfare, sacrifices, does without to help that person in that time of need. That's the way the body of Christ ought to function. That's the way it ought to function within your churches. And I pray that you'll catch that vision and you will understand that that's what the Lord wants of His people. Not to exploit, not to tread them down, not to vilify them, not to spread rumors about them, not to stick them in the knife behind their back, but to take those who are weak spiritually, who are impoverished materially, who are in sorrow and whatever kind of need may exist in their life, to come alongside them. And to take them, as it were, to the springs and the palm trees where they can be restored. And where their life can be brought together again and they can flourish again. That's the way the people of God respond. That's what it is that brings the Lord glory. This business of what they were doing to take them captive was expressly forbidden in Leviticus 25, 26, that God's people were not allowed to take advantage of God's people that way. And the New Testament is full of the compassion that is supposed to be displayed within the church of Jesus Christ, in the body of Christ. And if you don't take this away from Bob Jones University and put it into practice all your life, you're going to miss the joy. You're going to miss the blessing. You're going to miss what God will do for you as you do for His people in this regard. The greatest place in all the world to start that is right here. And many of you do that all the time. And others of you seeing that done by the example of what you see, then you go and do it. And you realize that this is the way the body of Christ relates to one another. Young people, it's a wonderful thing to be in the body of Christ. It's the greatest way to live in all the world. It's the way the Lord has made provision for His people to live. And we are blessed indeed to have a Savior like we have. Let's honor Him by the way we live. Will you bow your heads before the Lord and let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a wonderful chapter we've looked at. And we see Your fingerprints all over it. We see You at work throughout it. We see You very near Your people and caring and loving so greatly for Your people. Thank You that You care for us. Don't let anybody in this room doubt that. And Lord, You're a great prayer-answering God. And today we bring before You the needs of the people unknown to me in this room. Needs I will never know about. But You know, and I ask You, Lord, today, even today, show Yourself mighty in the meeting of those needs and in providing that which You alone can do from Your hand of omnipotence for the needs of us in this room today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Message by Dr. Jones serves as a reminder that God is always near His people and He is actively accomplishing His will in the church. Today's Christian Preacher is a quarterly magazine designed to help the man of God in his personal life. It covers issues of personal importance such as integrity, finances, time management, and family values. Today's Christian Preacher is sent free of charge to those in the ministry, as well as to those who are preparing for ministry. Your pastor can register for a free subscription by calling us toll-free at 1-866-BJU-RADIO. Again, that's 1-866-BJU-RADIO. Or visit our website at bjuradio.com and click on this month's free listener offer. And while you're there, the BJU Radio website has information about other helpful resources for you and your family. Or you can write us at BJ Radio, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Thanks for joining us for today's program of Chapel Echoes. This is Dave Yerrick for Bob Jones University, encouraging you to join us next time as we bring you another challenging Bible message. And reminding you to set your affections on things which are above and not on things of the earth.